Bring the meeting to order, please. Can I have a roll call?
Kurt Alsted, Tracy Carluccio, here. Timothy Doherty.
Here.
Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holkaway.
Here.
Bruce James. Carl Richko.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevetich.
Here.
Michael Tiefen.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
Can you please read the open public meeting statement?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Thank you. Can you all join me in a pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item is approval of minutes. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? See a non-roll call, please.
Councilmember Alsted. Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holkaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James. Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefen.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. The next item up is Chairman's Report. At the last meeting, we had talked about the stakeholder groups, and if you had any suggestions for the possible stakeholder groups to submit them, I know some have been submitted. If you have any more, they have to be in by this Monday coming up. Also, by this Monday, if you can let us know if you would like to attend the first the next two stakeholder meetings, which is October 22nd and October 29th. And the reason I asked to submit your names, we can't have a quorum, so we'll have to call through. You know, 9-10 people came in, we'd have to pick 7 to go. I don't know if that will happen. But if it does, we need to make sure that we don't have a quorum.
We do have to know now.
If you can,
what time is Kurt?
Bolton. You'd like to go to Bolton?
Time? They're both in Trenton?
They're all in Trenton.
The first two are in Trenton, the next two, one's in Morris County and one is in here. anybody else at this time, though, if they're going to attend on the next two meetings? Both of them? Got these? Anybody else? So Mr. Bowden, Mr. Sevetich, at this time for Bowden. So by Monday for those two meetings, please. Also at the last meeting, you asked the executive director and myself to put together a letter so we're on the record opposed to the forced Sterling Casino. We have, I believe you've seen the letter. We thought it was done in a way that, obviously, we haven't reviewed the plan, so it's really not within our purview to suggest that it's bad without reviewing the plans, but I think we are quite clear on our concerns. Hopefully, this satisfies what you're looking for.
Mr. Chairman, I had a question about
this.
I was glad to see the letter was sent in, and, you know, we did discuss this at the last meeting. And one of the things that was considered was for a consistency determination to be done looking at the plans and looking at what was available. And, you know, I thought that was a good idea, and I'm just wondering why.
Well, we couldn't do it in that short time frame to get on the record. You've got to remember that that was due September 31st.
Right.
First of all. Second of all, there is ongoing communication between the staff and New York into looking at it. This was not their version of the DEP approvals. This was their version of the casino approval. So they have other things to go through. But
will there be other hearings that will be needed in order to approve this project?
From what I understand, yes. But you know,
I would encourage us to do what we had talked about. You know, one of the things we talked about, which is a consistency determination, because that would give the details about why this does not fit in with the Highlands Regional Master Plan, which is, you know, really our two cents that's valuable to those who will be reviewing this. So, you know, I think it's great a letter was sent. I was disappointed so little was done for that, because I think the staff could have, you know, ably pulled together, as they usually do, a really great report that would have put some substantive information on the record.
Chairman, it came to our attention really late, and Margaret did a nice job. She put together the background on the proposed casino. So, you know, I think that, you know, as much as could be done, was done in a relatively short period of time, but it definitely showed that we had, you know, we in New Jersey here have a seat at, or should have a seat at that table, because of what went on before. And I think that we should take full advantage of it and make sure that, you know, we're heard for us.
Yeah, and I think our goal was to really have dialogue between our staff and theirs during the process as well. One thing I did not want to get tied up in is making decisions on things that we haven't reviewed. You know, we're not the planning board. We haven't reviewed those plans, so we really don't know what's going there.
We got
it's
on
easy
record.
To say no, 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 no.
But we got on record.
Yes, I think, and very clearly, I believe.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm glad we did send a letter. It's somewhat weak, but I'm hoping that if the staff looks at this plan more, we have an opportunity to again put in our two cents, and I hope that when we do, we oppose it, hopefully and unconditionally.
Have we, Mr. Chairman, received or requested any of the reports, their reports? They'd be much more familiar with the facts and statistics and figures.
Well, I think the first, this is really, this stage of the process is them, and correct me if I'm wrong, Margaret, is strictly where the casino has the ability to be located there. After that, it would come down to the environmental impacts, you know, planning board type situations. That's not what's being approved here at this point in time. To the best of my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong.
And if I may, one of the other agencies I reached out to is the Palisades Interstate Park Commission. I know Jim Hall from a previous life, and he is far more versed in this than I am, so he has been more than helpful in bringing me up to speed.
Mr. Chairman, just one other thing. Going forward, since you think there is going to be other opportunity for input, it sounds as if, I know in New York they have like a mini NEPA, they do an evaluation under their under that environmental, DEC's environmental review. And perhaps at that time we could consider doing a similar thing that we would do if this project were in the Highlands.
Absolutely.
Do a consistency determination, look at all the details. Since we have so much information just on the other side of the border about the resources, that would be valuable to get on the record. I think it would be really great.
And I think that's fine. Before we put dollars and resources towards that in the middle of the regional master plan, I think we should know that the project's going forward. If it doesn't get cited as a casino, you know, I don't think we should waste all that time and money and energy until that step has been taken. So, any other comments on this particular issue? Any other council members have any issues they wish to bring up? Seeing none, we'll move into the executive director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to highlight a few items in the report that you have in front of you. For petition approvals, I mentioned it last month, but you know, now it's official, Gluten Township in Morris County. Their administratively complete petition was posted to the Highlands Council website September 12, 2014. We expect them to come in for their hearing early next year. For plan conformance implementation, Califon Borough adopted its municipal exemption determination resolution. Bethlehem Township adopted its Highlands Land Use Ordinance, which is something we all like to see. That is the sixth municipality to adopt it. In Sparta Township, the master plan reexamination report was deemed consistent. Deemed consistent also was the master plan Highlands element. There are a couple of allocations for HDC bank credits. We have three in Harmony Township, Warren County. Lest you forget, the next council meeting is in December. It's December 4th, so you get a bit of a break. And I know
that, you know, we've been pushing you as staff, and you've been working really, 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 really hard. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you, because we've made an awful lot of progress on the Regional Master Plan and the TDR program. In particular, thanks to all your hard work. On Fenimore, things are moving along, according to the state, very well. The liner of the landfill is 37% covered, and they expect the liner cover to be done by the end of this month, which is ahead of schedule. That is, of course, weather-dependent. Truck traffic has been dramatically reduced, and clean fill is being transported as needed. The DEP will be replacing the oxidizer for a new one. It's not they're not replacing the scrubber, just the oxidizer. This is to accommodate all the wells that have put in, and they're getting more gas out, and they needed a new oxidizer to deal with that. They don't have a date for putting in the new oxidizer, but they anticipate it will be in before the end of the year, after the liner cover is finished. There have been no odor complaints since August, and there were only one or two at that time. The web portal has been open for a while, and we have received 22 comments from 20 unique individuals. So we're starting to see a little activity there. We anticipate we'll see more activity as we get into, you know, the stage where we're actually going out and meeting with, you know, people, stakeholder groups, interested citizens. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. That takes us to committee reports. First item up is the Personnel Committee. I believe I sent out all the information needed, including resumes. Please refrain from discussing those individuals publicly. Along with the process that we performed, the interview we did, the two interviews we performed, as well as I think we supplied everything. The committee met on a couple of different occasions, including the interview, and one person stood out heads and shoulders above the rest, and I'm happy to say that that person is our acting director, Margaret Nordstrom. I think one of the biggest things that we could point to is the job that she's done here for the last seven months. Since Mr. Pyle left, which has been fantastic. We're in the middle of a regional master plan review. We felt that was key as well. That process has been going extremely well under her leadership. So the Personnel Committee would like to recommend Ms. Nordstrom for the position at the same salary that the previous director held. And you want to add anything to that, bro?
Sure. Nothing would have given me more pleasure, no thanks, Margaret, than to find someone from the applicants more qualified, if only because of the criticism that we've been reading concerning this hiring. Margaret is eminently qualified for the position. She has a passion for the job that was better than any of the previous holders of that job. She cares about the environment. She cares about the goals of landowner equity. She's the best person for the job, and I'm pleased to support her.
I agree, and I think that was the unanimous feeling coming out of the committee, which is, besides Rob Walton and myself, is Kurt Alstead, who's not here this evening. It was, as Rob put it just now, well said, just heads and shoulders above the rest. So, having said that, I would like to entertain a motion.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. This is a public matter, a public voting, public comments. Matter. So at this point in time, I will open it up to the public. Remind the public that you can comment for 3 minutes or less. Please raise your hand if you have anything to say.
My name is Deborah Post, Harmed Property Owner, Chester Township. The appointment of Margaret Nordstrom for the position of Executive Director is ill-advised and not recommended by the Harmed Highlands landowners. I speak for more than just myself. I will be specific. First, Freeholder Nordstrom stood on the platform of a grassroots landowner meeting 7 or 8 years ago and pledged her support for property rights in the Harmed landowners' cause, as well as her opposition to the Highlands Act. Her subsequent actions were in direct contradiction to her words that evening. Politicians who speak in one direction and act in the opposite represent everything that is wrong with our country and our state. Nordstrom showed herself to be untrustworthy. Second, an analysis of selected farmland preservation transactions promoted by Ms. Nordstrom in her freeholder capacity revealed extreme underpayment of easement values to the elderly. We need an executive director who cares fervently that property owners be justly compensated at fair value, not cheated in whatever way the government can find to do so. Ms. Nordstrom is clearly not that person. The lobbyists on my left here today, I believe, do not support Nordstrom either. She has no one's support.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope. I own a farm in Lebanon Township. Here we go again. Our first executive director here was Adam Zelder, Weingart's buddy from DEP. The deputy executive director was Dante DiPiero. And I do miss the warm attention that I got from the two of them as they double-teamed anyone who objected back of what their agenda was. Adam found another job in about a year and left, leaving Dante to spread his warmth and joy all by himself. Then we had Eileen Swan, when a newly minted council member went to see her and asked to be introduced to the staff so that he could know them by their names and faces, and asked what their job description was, what they were doing there. Swan denied him. I understand a heated argument ensued, and this gentleman's request was not honored. What we have here is not so much who the executive director is. What we have here is a culture that only you, the council, can change. This is a council of old DEPism, where they think they are God Almighty and can tell the rest of us what to do. Many of your staff come from DEP, and unless you put your back up and change this culture, as Commissioner Martin attempted to do when he first took over the DEP, it doesn't matter who you appoint. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Raise your hand. Yes, sir.
My name is Elliot Ruga. I'm the senior. Maybe I should have left it. The senior policy analyst for the New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and I'd like to say that I've known Margaret Nordstrom for many years. I knew her when she was a freeholder for Morris County. I know her to be very sincere in her efforts, whether in an administrative or as an elected official. She has always understood the difficult navigation of being an elected official and many different interests that need to be served. But I've always felt that her ability to act at, in the best interests of the people she is elected to serve and or is in her administration has always been of the highest caliber. And she has been doing this work for many years. I believe she's eminently capable and qualified.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. At this point in time, I'll open it up to council members. Any council members have any comments? Yes, sir.
You know, hiring is probably the most difficult thing that we have to do. I know I've run my own business for about 37 or 38 years, and it's tough. And we've got a bunch of resumes. I read every single one of them. You always get those that are fresh out of school and think they can do it. And you have a bunch of those. You have those that are just respond to every single ad that they can find. But I think that we're very lucky in that we've had a seven-month interview. I've watched the operation, I've watched the running of the meetings, I've watched the preparation of the meetings, I've looked at the documentation we've been receiving, and this has all been supervised. I know one of the complaints we had early on was, oh, we should have an environmentalist as the head. And my prompt response is, the president of American Airlines is not a pilot. I mean, there's a function that the council does as a whole. The cream of that work comes out of the staff. It has to be well managed. I think that Margaret's done an excellent job from our side of the table. We don't deal with staff on a day-to-day basis, although I do try to come to all committee meetings and be here personally to interact with everybody as much as possible. And I must say I've been pleased and seen no drop in service, and probably even improved service, level of service through the past couple of months. So, thank you, Margaret.
Any other comments?
Mr. Chair.
Sorry, get you next.
Okay.
I think we're blessed to have them. If you look at the performance of the staff and it's the excellent quality of the work they do, the quantity of the work they do as a result of good administrative leadership that Margaret brings to the table. Well done.
Thank you.
I have felt that we should have gone out and done a national search. And the reason I say that is looking at the resumes, I don't think there were any from outside of New Jersey, and if I remember right, but the majority was people who live around here, and many of them were obviously not qualified. I think that that's unfortunate, that we could have had a better field if we had nationally scoured the executive director, executive position candidates that we would have attracted if we had advertised nationally and really gone out and done a search. So I'm disappointed that we didn't do that. Certainly looking at the resumes that we received, Margaret Worsbrand is qualified. There's no question about that. I just feel that we should have made more of an effort, personnel committee should have made more of an effort to go out and really search the nation for somebody to lead this council.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, Just
I'll talk about the process first of all. It certainly was a step in the right direction after the last time we did this 2.5 years ago, where it was announced in the newspaper about 2 weeks before who was going to be the executive director. And I do hope that in the future, if we are going to be hiring an executive director, I made a comment about how I thought we should have a special committee of seven people from our council representing all the different views, obviously, that we have about the Highlands Act on this council. And I hope in the future, you'll consider that. I support Margaret, and I just have a recommendation. I hope that probably her first job will be to hire an assistant director, and I certainly hope you'll be looking for somebody with a strong environmental planning background, whether it's from our staff or from outside. Thank you.
You should bring up that suggestion. I plan on Margaret being here for a while, so you can bring that suggestion up to the next chairman.
Well, I may not be here myself, so.
I just keep it very brief, just on the record. I have to leave into this. I informed the chairman that I cannot stay, but I would like to come here for this part of the meeting. It was touched on about management and staff. And those of us who are in politics and not in politics, who own businesses and run businesses, et cetera, know that we're only as good as the people that are behind us. And the Highlands are under the strength as the people that she manages with their expertise on all the issues that come in the Highlands region. I've known Margaret for quite a while on different sides of the island politically, and from all the years I've known her, it's never been personal. It's always been the right decision first, doing what's right for the citizens, right for the Highlands. I firmly believe that she's not in this for the same reason that last director was, or whoever we've known for, to sit there for 2 years and get a pension. So I'm very happy to support you, and you are here for a long time. And Mr. Riley, that goes for you too.
Don't curse me like that.
We'll be supporting you, and congratulations, and please just continue to work as hard as you have been. And
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Please.
I think we've all seen positive interactions between Margaret and the council. I personally have seen in all my correspondence, phone calls, emails, and so on to Margaret. The responses have been professional, they've been prompt, and that's a rarity amongst us folks. Putting these political situations aside, I welcome Margaret. I vote, of course. I look forward to positive interactions. And you can just see by the presentations that she does do here in front of all of us that she's on top of her game. So, I'll do the vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments before this time, gentlemen, anybody? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead? Councilmember Carluccio?
No.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Happily, yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Emphatically, yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James? Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefen?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes, and welcome aboard officially.
Can I say just a couple of words as I come down from my adrenaline rush? Thank you so much. I love the work here. I really do. I love working with you. I love working with my staff. They make me look good every single day, so thank you, guys. And I plan on being here for as long as you'll have me, so thank you.
Well, sir.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Next item up is the Landowner Equity and Land Preservation Committee. And I believe, Mr. Walton, you're going to report out on that?
Sure. Not a whole lot happened at the meeting other than reviewing data regarding the water tax. We asked staff to go back and revisit it and dig a little deeper on that. Again, we are moving forward with trying to find a way to compensate the landowners. This was announced at the last meeting. At the December Highlands Council meeting, staff will be asked to approve the open space program. You will have in your hands in the next several weeks all the details of how that program will work, the application, the internal paperwork, the criteria and whatnot, so that you can examine it, ask questions, make recommendations for improvements, so that at that December meeting we can hopefully approve a final version of that program and then start acquiring open space and compensating landowners. That's it.
Thank you. Any comments? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'm very happy with the direction the committee's going and with the work that's been done so far. I think that we've done a good amount, and we're well on our way to compensating the landowners in the place.
Thank you. And, you know, the committee's not naive. We know we can't, you know, fully fund everything. It's only be within the realm of what we're capable of doing and the monies that we have available to us. So we are trying to leverage every dollar we can to help out as much as we can along the process.
And, Chairman, and then make recommendations to the governor and the assembly and senate as to what we think should be done, for example.
Yes. Yeah, that's very good. Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none. Next item up is the Plan Conformance Committee.
Yes, and I will be reporting out on this. This is a continuation of the presentation we originally made on August 21st, as you'll remember, and we were following Councilmember Richco's suggestion that we not vote on the checklist approach for a town until it's been, you know, able to be commented on by the public, ask questions. You know, we were originally planning on having this, obviously, in September, but at the time we had to get the agenda out, we weren't sure we would have a quorum. So we didn't want anybody to come in and find out we didn't have a meeting that wouldn't be held. So this is why we delayed it a month. As you remember, the Township of Hardyston in Sussex County is petitioning the Highlands Council for plan conformance with respect to lands within the preservation area only. Based on a detailed review of the properties located within the township's preservation area, Highlands Council staff concluded that there is a very limited development potential therein. In sum, the Highlands Council anticipates the proposals for development in Hardington Township's preservation area would affect only one parcel, and that was one that you see up there that's 182 acres. This, again, is the things that you've seen before. This is the map showing the forested and non-forested area. And that's the analysis that you have seen before. We're showing it to you again to refresh your memory. And I think that's all our slides. I will say that we received no inquiries from the public on this one. So I turn it back to...
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is a voting matter and will be open to the public, so can I get a motion?
So moved.
I'll second Mr. Chairman.
Motion and second by Mr. Vizzioli. At this point in time, we'll open it to the public. Does anybody in the public wish to be heard on this matter? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any council comments? Ms. Bellagio?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to bring up Hardston Township's build-out report, and we have that in our packet, and also we just saw it again. Talking of, in the notes, it talks about it being partially forested and having agricultural lands. And I understand that it's considered to be a de minimis type of potential for development because there's just one that would be able to be developed into three or more developable units. However, what I did do is go and look at the kind of resources that were on the site using our layers of ecological features that we've developed in the regional master plan. And when you look at that, I think it's the kind of review that we should be doing when we decide whether or not to use the checklist approach or use the land use ordinance approach. And when you look at this site, there are very special resources here. And you don't, like, for instance, it's a forest resource area. There's wetlands, there's open water protected areas on almost the entire site. It's very high watershed value. There's some small ponds. In terms of conservation, it's environmentally constrained, a subzone, and a protection zone. These are layers of evaluated features that we spent years developing in order to apply to look at a site like this and decide whether or not it really is important in terms of what's going to happen to it and how closely it will be looked at. The other things that I think that are really important about this site is that there's the riparian corridor areas there, and the integrity score is very high. Some of it is very flood-prone, and there's alluvial soils there. And there's two vernal habitats. This is the kind of thing that is important because we don't know where other places in the township may have vernal pools. Do we know that? And do we know what other places and how much is going to be left in terms of these features that we find on this site? There's a 12-year wellhead protected area up in the corner, which is very important, as we know, for the water supply for the community. It's a prime groundwater recharge area. There's significant natural features on the site. There's severely constrained slopes over an entire portion of the site, moderately and severely. There's an ag resource area. We talk about agriculture and how important that is. Well, this is a very important ag resource area that exceeds the 250 acres, so it's really special. Those were special areas that we designated in the regional master plan. And then there's also a negative net water availability. There's no contamination here. It's a very high quality site. It's right next to preserve land and scenic resources. This piece right here, we don't get that picture when we look at this about what is potentially going to be developed. And I think when the land use ordinance approach allows that kind of a comprehensive analysis to be done by the municipality, not by our staff, and to be understood. So I do not support us, even though it looks de minimis on paper. When you look at all the layers of the environmental features that are there do not support us using the checklist approach here.
For the last time, this does not take away any of those things, and it doesn't go. It's the difference between the review by this staff versus the municipal staff. All those things come into play, as you just stated, when an application is brought forward. So we're not. You make it sound like we just approved the development, and that's not the case here. This is strictly who reviews it once it gets to that.
I understand
the
that.
Development aspect, whether it's done by the Highlands Council or the municipal staff. Quite frankly, not only do I think it belongs to here, because it was an unfunded mandate, why should municipalities move forward in pushing that, but I think the expertise is here. So,
the municipalities need that expertise themselves, and that's the whole point of the Highlands
property,
Act.
For one property.
Yes, they do need that, and they need it. They need
and they'll
that.
Have that during the planning process with input from the Highlands Council. So,
and that's what they're conforming to when they're conforming. They're conforming to understanding and applying this, and they really should be the ones to do it. They should be in the driver's seat. We shouldn't be.
Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I think Mr. Carluccio raises some important things, and I'm wondering how our staff feels about what you just said. Do you think these wetland areas and these rural pools will be protected or developed? I tend to think it's probably, I'm going to vote for this, but I was wondering what anybody in the staff has to say regarding the concerns of Ms. Carluccio.
Well, yeah, I'll start and then I'll turn it over to Ms. Dance. This analysis that we do on trying to figure out whether a town should go with a checklist approach is really a broad brush. And what we tell you is that there's the potential for three lots. We're not saying you will get three lots. Once it's gone through the kind of analysis that Councilmember Carluccio just described. So that gets factored in at a later date when a development application actually comes to us. Yes?
Agreed. Just to clarify that the resource protections, when we're working with Hardison, are protected, even though they're conforming only in the preservation area. When we do resource protection plans for Hardison, they're evaluating them municipal-wide. So they learn about vernal pools, they learn about streams, they learn about critical habitat, they learn about prime groundwater recharge areas, they learn about those municipal-wide, whether they are able to implement them through a land use ordinance in a planning area that they are not conforming for, that's a matter of law. But they are educated about them through a process on a municipal-wide level, including the preservation area. I'd like to see this parcel be preserved. It seems like it's an opportune parcel for that. But if it is subject to development, the staff will ensure that all of those resources are protected.
Thank you. Any other comments, council members? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead. Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Doherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James. Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefen.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Ryan.
Yes. That brings us to Budget and Finance Committee, which will keep hopefully busy for a couple items here. Bob, do you want to report out on the... Want to split these, or you want to?
Yeah, let's do the operating budget first. There are two separate votes. The operating budget is the day-to-day operation of the council and the staff and everything else. If we look back a little bit at our 14 budget, which ended in July, we underspent that budget by about $100,000. Nothing really unexpected. It was pretty much in line, and it was very good. The 2015 budget is forecast to be about $40,000 under our 2014 budget, so we're going to do a little more with a little less. One of the things that happened last year was we had some staff separation, and our salary line was underspent by about $252,000. The Treasury has been pulling all of these available funds back from most of the agencies. Our staff was able to convince them to leave that here with us, and it has been allocated into the RMP budget, so that's another $252,000 that will be available for the update of the regional master plan.
They are actually already in the RMP account. We had some increases. One of them was insurance. Andy did a review of our insurance. It's been a long time, apparently, since there's been a review of insurance. That's also a member of the bank board. I'm sorry to hear there was no insurance on the bank board. Now there is. There are other areas of... Andy went and looked through the Meadowlands and the Finance Commissions and the kind of actions and activities that they've had and insured losses or uninsured losses, and they have structured a revised coverage for us, and that was a $12,000 increase in the budget. However, we are now protected compared, similar to the other organizations, so we're up to snuff. The training is up a little couple thousand dollars. Yeah, professional licenses and membership. The state raised the fees, so we pay the state out of our budget into their budget, so the money went back and forth. Science and the GIS technology, that's how we manufacture what we do. That's our tools of production. They do need constant revision, upgrading, replacement. The technology is changing. That's probably one of the bigger jumps, and that went from $22,000 to about $39,000. For new equipment and software impacted by the change in the GMP. So, 25 words or less, that's the, kind of where we are with the proposed fiscal year 15 budget. Are there any questions anybody has?
You better hope I wasn't counting those 25.
It's like your 3 minutes.
Yeah. Well, this is a voting matter, so if I could get a motion on the resolution.
I'll move.
So a motion.
Second.
And a second. At this point in time, I'll open it to the public. Does the public have anything they would like to say on the operating budget? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any council comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
A few months ago, I brought up the thought of asking the Budget and Finance Committee to consider putting into this year's budget an increase for our staff. Now, I wonder, after 7 years, these people have not gotten any kind of increase. They're paying more to their health benefits. And I wondered with members of the council who are also freeholders and members of their town councils, have your employees not gotten any kind of increase in the last 7 years? I think it's wrong. I think that we have an excellent staff. We've heard all kinds of accolades and tonight, and these people are suffering. We're looking into landowner compensation, which I totally agree with, but we also need to look out for our staff. Has there been any consideration of an increase in salaries?
That has to come with approvals, and at this point in time...
Approvals from who?
Treasury.
From the Treasury Department. As I brought up a couple of months ago about the increase in Governor Christie's, some of his top members there, so I don't think it's money is lacking in certain areas. They said all kinds of excuses that they had new kinds of... job descriptions, I don't buy any of that. I think that our staff deserves an increase just like they got also.
You're talking about you don't buy anything for our staff?
No, I don't buy that the excuse for giving all of these employees of the governor, giving them those big increases up to 50% or more, because they have different job descriptions. I don't buy any of that. I think it's wrong.
Any other comments on the budget?
I just had one. If I'm reading this correctly, the general operating budget, probably correct me if I'm wrong, from their staff positions, expenditures for salaries and so on, it looks to me, if my math is right, somewhere around $300,000 increase back to 1.8 or something. Is that correct? As opposed to 1.5?
It was underspent last year.
It was underspent last year. Because G-File left and that position was vacant for an extended period of time.
I think there's
and there were several other positions that were empty for an extended period of time as well. So the line was actually underspent.
Correct.
And now that we have a new executive director in place, I think that, you know, focus needs to be on where this council is moving in the future as well.
I'd be open to recommendations by the new director.
Any other comments on the budget? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Walstead. Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman.
Yes.
Councilmember James. Councilmember Richko.
No.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
No.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Next item up is the 2015 fiscal year Islands Protection Fund capital budget.
Mr. Holtzman. The capital budget is a with funds to grants and other operations external to our internal operations. We take a guess. I mean, what happens is we have an allocation from the state, which this year is $2,182,000. That is new money that comes in. We have about $622,000 that rolled over. That's money that was not allocated, encumbered last year. So that has rolled over into this year. We have, so that's the new stuff that we're looking at. We have all of the other items, about $8 million worth, that have been encumbered and unpaid. So that money shows on the budget because it's still sitting in our bank account. The for this year, we have gone through, there's the matrix that you've been received. You see where grants are anticipated, there's the changes are in red. They're all guesses. How many towns are going to come in for conformance? How many are going to come in for water plans? How many water conservation plans? How many are going to come in for build-out analysis? The staff has done their best knowing on what they hear and the drum beats and where their applications stand. They've made expectations of what those allocations would be. We're allocating $2,889,000 as kind of a number that we're projecting for encumbrances. There's $735,000 that's being in the carryover that's for county projects. We had none in 2014. We don't have any yet in 2015, so I'm not sure where that is. One of the things we do expect is to go through and collect back unexpended grants. There's grants where they were given a grant for a project, either they haven't completed it, or they've been going so long, or it is completed but they didn't spend all the money. And those notices will be going out once this budget is adopted. All these towns that haven't done what they're supposed to do with that money recouped. We hear it kicking and screaming about it. So when you get all done with it, basically we're increasing the pot by about $2.7 million. And it's anybody's guess where that's really going to go, but we have made an educated guess to try to allocate this so the towns do have a level of expectation. Herb, do you have any?
Nothing else to add other than it's state-mandated program that we can't expect municipalities to put the bill themselves for something that the law and the act require.
Yes, as the chairman mentioned earlier, it's a state mandate, and it is our obligation, the state's obligation, to fund that. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Can I get a motion? We have a motion. And a second, please. A second, Mr. Vogt. Thank you. At this point in time, this is a public matter, so anybody wishing to speak on this issue, please raise your hand.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Deborah Post, armed landowner, Chester Township. Before I begin, this gentleman just said that you can't expect the municipalities to bear the burden of a huge bill from a state mandate. I query why you can ask the home landowners to bear a $6 billion cost for a state mandate. What's the difference? The Highlands Council is to establish grant funding utilizing the Highlands Protection Fund to reimburse expenses associated with the implementation of the Highlands Act. The Council has established a myriad of grant programs, many of which read like a full employment guarantee for professional planners and, for clever municipalities, a real property tax relief opportunity. Planners have spun hours and been paid for their purported services without providing invoices in generally accepted hourly increments. One-page, block-format planner invoices without hourly detail have been accepted by municipalities and paid with Highlands grants. This council must pass a resolution requiring all professional payments from the Highlands Protection Fund to be pursuant to voucher invoices prepared in quarter-hour increments and properly reviewed by the CFO of the municipality pursuant to Municipal Land Use Law NJSA 4055D-53.2c. This council has downstreamed its responsibility and authority to determine Highlands exemptions to the municipalities. In so doing, it has created an extra expense for already harmed landowners. As if we have not been bled enough, the downstreaming of exemption determinations allows the municipalities to charge the landowners for professional services in connection with their consideration of the exemption requests. This is outrageous. This council must pass a resolution requiring all municipalities to file for municipal grants to reimburse any professionals retained by the municipality in connection with Highlands exemption determinations and to relieve the landowner of any liability for professional fees under the MLUL in connection with exemption determinations or any efforts at implementing a just compensation plan for property losses.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Council members, any comments? Seeing none, I do have some concerns as well with some of the grant monies and where they're spent, and I'm not talking about the reimbursements at the local level. But I want to get some information first and go over with Margaret before I make any suggestions on best practices with these funds. It's a lot of money. And I think sometimes you spend it in a better place. Roll call, please.
Who made the motion? I didn't hear that.
I made the second.
I have voted the second.
Yeah, voted the second. Mr.
Voted
Chair,
second.
You were sure to clarify. Are you asking then that this resolution be tabled until you get the information?
No. Okay. No, this would take. This isn't an overnight 5-minute thing.
Basically, what we're proving is putting the money in the pot. We're not approving any of the grants.
Yes.
So the question is, as we go through the individual grants, I think that's where the concern is.
Okay. Councilmember Alstead? Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty? Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James? Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
No.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes. Thank you. Next item up is the RMP Update Committee. It was a pretty quiet meeting this month, so I'll have Ms. Marshall.
I'm reporting on the September 17th meeting. Most of what occurred at that meeting you heard about at our September Council meeting, which is on the next day. But I will reiterate a couple of things. We are still, and we're at that point, working on finalizing the list of stakeholders. We encourage everybody to submit names. Committee Member Sevetich suggested that two groups be added to the targeted stakeholder list, which were the Delaware Riverkeeper and the Quantic River Coalition. We also designated a group called Impacted Landowners. That was added to the targeted stakeholder list, as well as Sustainable Raritan and NJAC. We're currently in the process of scouting locations for meetings for the stakeholder outreach and public outreach meetings, and we will do our very best, and I think it's possible to get to all areas of the Highlands. We're looking for a good geographic distribution of meeting sites so that it'll make it easier for people to get to at least one. And that concludes the report.
Thank you. Any comments? As you can see, there's a lot of committees to report out. It's been a pretty active several months. And I appreciate everybody's hard work on these committees. Getting us where we are, and I think it's been fairly transparent, and everybody's been kept up to speed. Next item up is a consideration of resolution for approval of the 2015 annual meeting schedule. Can I get a motion?
So make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Motion and second. At this point in time, I'll open it up to the public. Does anybody wish to speak on our meeting schedule?
This is Paloma Fry, New Jersey Conservation. This is not a comment on the meeting schedule, but on the locations of the public meetings that we're mentioning.
We'll get to that during the regular public portion. This is just about the meeting schedule right now.
Okay.
Thank you. Anybody wish to speak on the schedule? Seeing none, council members? Seeing none, roll call.
Councilmember Alston. Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzler.
Aye.
Councilmember James. Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tepak.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton. Chairman Ryan.
Yes. Next item up is consideration of resolution authority for plan conformance and Highlands project review. This is just a continuation of what we have been doing for many years. So we have a motion. At this point in time, we'll open it up to the public. Does anybody in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Deborah Post, farm property owner, Chester Township. This resolution regarding the Council's implementation of plan conformance and project review includes the TDRD restriction. The resolution appears to state the Council's intent to implement a TDR program and execute an associated deed restriction, and then immediately delegates this role to staff. We adamantly object to the staff having any say or authority in the drafting, negotiating, and execution of deed restrictions. I remind this council for the umpteenth time that it has never formally adopted a deed restriction for the TDR. The TDR deed restriction in use was prepared by Tom Borden and never presented to the council for its approval. With a sly wink, Borden described the deed restriction document as a draft subject to negotiation. And then he put an onerous, overreaching document before the hardship cases, desperate to take hardly more than a dime on the dollar for their property losses. This is unconscionable. If this council continues the Borden practice, if only by its inaction, the TDRD restriction must not restrict beyond that which has been paid for, and that is only the development value of the property. The deed restriction must not overreach, and it must not read as a waiver of the Fourth Amendment. The deed restriction should simply refer back to provisions and requirements of the Highlands Act itself, nothing more. I again attach to my comments a copy of the Pitkin County, Colorado TDR deed restriction demarcated for the Highlands. Please consider a deed restriction as simple and straightforward as that used in one of the most successful TDR programs in the country.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on this resolution? Seeing none, council members? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, I think we vote on this every 6 months, and certainly we get a good report from our executive director about the actions at every meeting that have been taken pursuant.
At least for the last couple of years, we have.
Since at least 2012. I did go back and look at all the resolutions over the last couple of years, and this is no different than the others. It's a continuation. But I do continue to have problem with approving this, and that's because I think that the council really should be more hands-on than it is. We should have work sessions, and this is exactly the kind of work that the council should be doing in work sessions. A couple of these items, like an R&D update, for instance, I could understand, but I think these other things that are on the list and continue to be on the list in the last couple of years really should be done with more hands-on review and involvement on the part of the council. So I will be voting against this resolution.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston. Councilmember Ferruccio.
No.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James. Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton. Chairman Ryan.
Yes.
That takes us through all of our action items for this evening. Next item up is the public comments. General, again, 3 minutes. Please keep it to 3 minutes. And if you wish to speak, please raise your hand.
I'm Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. It used to be Highland many years. I just wanted to comment on the location of the meetings, for the public meetings. You talked about, Margaret, about having various locations throughout the Highlands. I would like to urge and suggest that there be meetings outside the Highlands for the water drinkers. As you know, there are about 11 counties that receive some water from the Highlands. And so there needs to be, at a bare minimum, one meeting outside the Highlands. Because the Act was passed and the RMP is being done in part for, the benefit of people who depend on the Highlands for their water. So it's really not fair to exclude them to have hearings that are only easily accessible to people who live in the Highlands. Thank you.
Any other comments?
I'm Hank Klump. I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area. I know my questions raised here are not responded to now, but where feasible will be followed up by the council and its staff. Well, I guess you find nothing I concerned about feasible because you have yet to reply. Recently, I saw Senator Bob Smith on TV speaking with Lou Baganos. He was criticizing Governor Christie for making promises and not keeping them. This is ridiculous, coming from a man of all people. Senator Bob Smith has no conscience. Perhaps Senator Smith should refresh his memory and remember promises he had made. The year is 2004. The place is Skyland Manor, Ringwood, New Jersey. The subject is committee meeting of the Senate Environmental Committee, Assembly Environmental, and the Solid Waste Committee regarding the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act. Senator Smith said, if there was one lesson tonight, it was the voice in the background from Tom Cruise, show me the money. And Chairman McCune and I pledge that we will show you the money. We're currently working with the governor's office to put together a dedicated and guaranteed source of funding so the Highlands Act, which is making a sacrifice for the rest of the state, is properly compensated. We will show you the money. Now it is going on 11 years. Not one penny has been dedicated in any way to compensate landowners in the Highlands. Not one penny. Who have had their property values stolen and their equity lost. Perhaps Senator Smith has just moved on and forgotten about his pledge. But all of us who have not been compensated have been living without the equity every day for going on 11 years. The Highlands Act was to hurt no one and never should have been signed with no funding in place for the landowners. Everyone on this council should know how unjust this act has been for the hurt landowners, and I don't understand how you can justify the theft of our land values. Perhaps Senator Smith should concern himself with finding funds for the Highlands with the 6% annual corporate tax money. About $150 million a year would be a good start in compensation for the billions stolen. Was "I'll show you the money" a falsehood, or is Senator Bob Smith still planning to show me the money? Maybe Bob Smith will show us the money, but look quick, because I doubt he will ever give it to us. He will use it for something else. Counsel, do you think my concerns are feasible? Thanks for letting me speak. One thing that when Robert Walton spoke about the tax, let's go with a fee, because as soon as you say tax, that has a terrible stigmatism. So, thank you. Appreciate that.
Any other comments?
Good afternoon. Andy Drysdale, Chester Township. Well, first, before I read what I wrote up this afternoon, I heard you say that you're going to consider landowner equity, and I hope you do a good job for the landowners. My name is Andrew Drysdale. My wife, Lois, and I reside at 32 East Fox Chase Road in Chester, New Jersey. Although we are part of a large group of farmed landowners located within the Highlands Preservation Area who have had their property rights taken away over 10 years ago, we have not been properly compensated for our losses. Although we are members of a large group, the U.S. Constitution gives individuals property rights, and the size of the group has nothing to do with whether it is right or wrong. Theft is still a crime. We are shocked to hear that large groups, such as the Sierra Club, were considered stakeholders. We had always considered the harmed landowners as the stakeholders and the group speaking against us as accomplices in the crime of grand theft. Please reconsider this matter very carefully and very soon. Thank you.
Thank you. It has been addressed, and there is a stakeholder group. Thank you. Next up. I'll get you next.
Excuse me. George Stafford, Wharton Borough and Highlands Coalition. Wilma, point about the outside the Highlands. I mean, it's a Water Protection Act, and one of the reasons that you exist, this council exists, is to take care of the water that something like 63% of the state's population uses some or all of. And some of the communities, 100% of their water comes out of the Highlands. So it is important that there's some outreach in that area as far as any changes that are going to be made in the RMP, that these people know about it and have an opportunity to speak on it. I've spoken to, in the last 2 years, maybe 100 municipal town councils, freeholder boards, and environmental commissions, and there's a surprising amount of interest, and there's also a surprising amount of ignorance as to what the Highlands is and whether or not they get water from the Highlands. I had a mayor tell me, we don't get water from the Highlands, we get it out of the Passaic River. So that's the situation that's out there. I'm glad to see that you address the situation, however, regarding the casino. But it shouldn't have been a surprise to you You know, it's something that's been in the newspapers, and Andy Cuomo's been pushing his 17 sites for four possible casinos for a long time. It's in the New York newspapers. We used to have a state newspaper in New Jersey called the Star Ledger. It's still there, but it's not a newspaper in the old sense that it has any decent information in it. But there you have a situation where you've got 65,000 people inside and just outside the Highlands who depend on water that comes out of the Pompton River that's going to be tremendously impacted by this. And it shouldn't have come as a surprise to the staff or to the council. It's a, you know, water protection is what this council's about. And that is a serious threat. The fact that they're going to take huge amounts of water out of the Pompton River, use it, and put it back, supposedly, and as Dave Pfeiffer pointed out to you, that had the effect on the aquifer, that's something, that's what this council's about. You're here to protect the water for those 65,000 people in seven communities. I think three are in the Highlands and four are adjacent to the Highlands. So that outreach and that knowledge on the RMP, and the fact that there should be some meetings, and I would suggest in the Passaic, Bergen, Essex County, Hudson County area, and then further south, Somerset, Middlesex, Mercer. There might be a meeting in each area so that those people can get there. I know I have been going to places like Lawrence and Cranberry, and it's not an easy trip to get from Morton to Cranberry back in an evening. So it certainly wouldn't be easy for them to come up here to Marshtown. So thank you for your time.
Anybody? I'm sorry. It's you this time.
Yeah. My name is David Shope. I have a farm in Lebanon Township. A couple of things. On your stakeholder group, please note that many of these people who are in environmental groups, to which Jeff Tittle and others, also are board members of the Highlands Coalition. How many seats are they entitled to? I say they're entitled to one, and that is the representation by the Highlands Coalition. Examine their applications before you grant them any seats in any stakeholder groups. And you've been noticing, you've been putting on people's property ag viability or ag designations without any analysis of what the viability of agriculture is on these lands. And without doing so, you really don't know what the viability of agricultural use of this land is, nor do you seem to care. You should make this analysis. Farm Bureau and others would be glad to help you with this analysis so that you can actually value the resource, the agricultural value that you say exists. I say it'll disappear under any economic analysis. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else like to speak? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Deborah Post, farm landowner in Chester Township. Regarding the suggestion for a water drinkers meeting, I suggest such a meeting be renamed the Highlands Water Flushers meeting. Most people drink Poland Springs, while 80% of Highlands water is flushed out to sea. That's a fact. It is now the middle of October, 3 months since we first viewed a PowerPoint presentation noting 10 targeted stakeholder meetings that were to have begun in September. A targeted stakeholder meeting has yet to be scheduled for harmed Highland landowners. Participation invitations have yet to be extended. We would like to be very clear that workshops and outreach sessions are not an acceptable substitute for a harmed landowner's targeted stakeholder meeting. Landowner outreach is little more than landowner daycare. We understand that other stakeholder meetings and TAC meetings have begun. This council is guilty of more delay tactics. Delay, delay, delay. It's LOL. As you think time is on your side, It's been 10 years. Can you still delay? As Andy's wife once asked Chairman Weingart, are you waiting for us to die? This council has never had any sincere intent to treat landowners fairly and include them in a transparent and constructive process.
Thank you. As stated before, there is a stakeholder group being formed. That is formed.
Yes, sir.
There is a stakeholder group meeting for farmed property owners being scheduled. Yes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the council. My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm the Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions, which has no board representation on the Highlands Council or the Highlands Coalition. I want to thank Mr. Riley for his letter on the gaming problem that we brought to your attention there earlier. But I do want to challenge you to think about, while you're looking at the RMP, the fact that we have an interstate water here in the form of the Ramapo River that runs into New Jersey and which is heavily used for drinking water, both groundwater and surface water, and which is known to have problems already. The real issue here is not the casinos. It's the rampant development that's taking place across our border to the north that's compromising established water supplies in the state of New Jersey. And I think if we wait another 20 years for this situation to evolve, we're going to be in terrible trouble in that part of the world. In addition to the surface water, we have a groundwater system that's shared along the Ramapo River itself. The aquifer system there is a registered EPA sole source aquifer, and one of the reasons for designating those things is that there is no feasible source of substitute water should that aquifer be compromised. So we would urge you to include in a new RMP something to the effect of interstate cooperation and as they say in Europe, consultations. We also send some water to New York through the Wallkill River, and you might find that some folks in New York are interested in what we're doing. So the casinos brought the subject to a head, but it's been growing for decades, and I hope that we can address it in the RFP. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issues? Please raise your hand.
Thank you. I have a specific
record, please.
Ron Pagano. I own a piece of property in Ringwood, New Jersey. Met with the Highland Council a few times, some members, trying to develop this property that's in the center of town. And according to a grant that was given to Ringwood to study the opportunities in Ringwood for development, my property came in number one. And I don't think that's really helping, because what happens is I've talked to the town many times, gave them several plans, and even a letter, because after I met with the Highlands Council here in June with three members, I gave them a letter to my attorney saying, you know, we'd like to sit down and explore developing this property. And that was done in August. And of course, I went to the August meeting. They said, come back. Come back to the September meeting. Oh, come back. When is it enough? I mean, I just want to develop a piece of property. I've been talking with them since about the year 2001. Then the economy went downhill, so I tapered off. Met with the planning board back in 2008. They said again, come back in 2008, because they were going over their COA situation. Then when I came back in 2010, they said, oh, come back again. We're not ready for you. We don't want to listen to your, I put in a review application. They didn't want to take $150 to sit down for 20 minutes, at a meeting, what do I do? I have a beautiful plan. It complies with the plan that they want, which is a mixed use on the property. And again, I sit down, and you go to these board meetings, there's nobody there. It's not like they're busy. There's nobody there. Now, I'll be at the mayor and council meeting next week. I'll see what they have to say. I'm just bringing up what's going on in my life.
If you, we have no say over a municipality and their planning board or their municipal government.
Well, they think you do.
We have review processes depending on where your property falls and how it's impacted, but we don't dictate whether they accept an application from you.
Right, I don't know about that because I did that. I put an application into this board and to Ringwood, and they said I have to go to Ringwood.
Yeah.
The lady over there.
Exactly. You'd have to go to Ringwood. It's not. Right. It's not an application that comes to us. I'm not sure where your property.
I did a separate application to Jim Hutzelman.
Okay. Let me finish, please.
Sure.
This is a municipal issue. We don't get involved early on. We get called in depending on where your property is and how it's impacted, or its impacts within the Highlands region, whether it's preservation or planning areas, et cetera, and how your municipality complies with that. But the whole process begins with the municipality and nowhere else.
And I did, and they told me to come here. And I met with the lady over there and two other people.
Unless there's something I'm missing, that's 100% incorrect.
And they told me,
municipality.
And they told me there's two ways I could do this.
Your attorney should know that.
There's two ways I could do this. I get a sponsorship from the town, or I go to my neighbor who may have something to do. I can use that 70% rule with my neighbor, or the town uses a sponsorship. So I go to my neighbor, and you just gave him a gun, because he goes to me and says, well, I want market value for my land that I can't even use.
I'm going to stop you here. This again, and I'm not going to have them chime in unless there is some special circumstance here I'm unaware of, but it's strictly with your municipality. You mentioned your attorney. You should know that. If not, maybe you should get another attorney. But it starts with the township, not this body.
They don't want to listen.
We have no control over that.
These minutes.
If you put in an application, they have to take it. They can't just.
They took the application, and then they also said I had to file with the Highlands.
My advice would be to talk to an attorney because I filed
with the Highlands, just like they wanted. And Jim Hutzelman took everything the way he wanted it, electronically and not electronically. And they basically said, go explore it with the mayor and council. And they won't even listen to me.
If you talk to an attorney, they'll...
I've been.
Well, that's where it is, and they can't stop you. And if you had an attorney, he would know that.
And he agrees. That's why I'm going very slowly here, because there's a point you're going to get to, you're going to say, enough's enough.
Then there's other members. Again, we have no purview in that realm. We really need to talk to your attorney and get the best action.
We're seeking the best action, but we'd rather not take that yet.
We have no say, sir.
Have you shown the plan to the building inspector and Joe?
I gave about 18 plans to the mayor and council.
And has the building inspector rejected it, saying you need variances?
Yeah, and I went to the Board of Adjustment, and they said I gave them another 18 plans with an application, and it was rejected because of the Highlands, they said. Because I gave the Highlands an application too, and they said no.
What you should be doing is filing an application with the Zoning Board if you need variances. File that application, and if they don't take it up within a certain amount of time, your variances, for all intents and purposes, are granted. They have to have action on that application within a certain amount of time.
And that's why
right. We did that in April.
We're careful to get involved in this.
Yeah.
Because we have no say. I'm just saying, if your attorney is the one to guide you, not us.
Put the application in the Board of Adjustment.
I strongly suggest talking to the attorney. They need to. They're the ones that do it. Unfortunately, we can't help. So.
Don't point the finger at the attorney. If hurt is fine. I put the application into the Board of Adjustment, and they still said, I got to put an application into the Highlands. I did that, and they said, no, you don't comply. End of the story.
If you want to call our staff to see if there's something there that I'm unaware of or if they're willing to during the business hours, I'm sure they can take your call. But like I said, I haven't heard anything from my
right. They're fine taking my call.
You need to talk to your attorney, sir. We have no authority. Zero.
These minutes are recorded, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And if you want me to, I'll say them again.
Thank you.
Yes.
In a case such as that, if you appeal, it's to the governing body. So if the land use board has said that they're not, that they rejected the application, then it to the governing body that means the land not to the county board. That's how it works.
Yeah, and I'm not sure exactly what he's saying, but he said they wouldn't even look at it. So, I don't want to get into that, but
right.
It's not our purview, and I don't want to get involved in it or get dragged into it legally. So, his attorney will have to dive into that. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the council. My name is Eric Keller. I'm here tonight on behalf of the New Jersey Builders Association. We certainly appreciate the opportunity through stakeholder and the web portal to make comments on the regional master plan. Our concern is that there's not going to be a greater delving into concerns, issues with the land use capability map, with the plan itself, the lack of designated growth areas within the planning area. Our concentration is on the planning area, not in a preservation area, as everything in a preservation area is really with DEP through the Highlands Protection Act rules. So we would hope that the council would consider a greater examination of the regional master plan, more on the order of a municipal master plan, and really looking into it, correcting things that are misrepresented or not accurate based on new data that's available from 8-10 years ago when this was first put together. It's 2014 and the plan was originally based on 2002 or 2004 data. It's all out of date. That's our comments on the regional master plan. On the checklist ordinance, and again, I'm only going to comment on those that apply to the planning area. We have a concern about their open-ended applicability. If you have a land use ordinance that's supposed to be adopted, they should adopt it. Having a checklist ordinance in place with no limitation on how long that is in place kind of is against or deviates from what the process should be. The town has decided to conform within for their planning area lands. They should go through the process to have a checklist ordinance and say that they can stop there without going forward creates an undue burden on property owners when they do file land use applications. It should be, some people disagree with me, if the town is going to manage their community, grow it the way that they want to, then they should have the land use ordinances in place and not have a checklist of where it gets shipped off. It should be, say, with the town like any other land use application throughout the state.
And the town has that right. Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Council members, any other issues? Yes, ma'am.
I thought Wilma Fry's suggestion was very good, and I remember that there'd be at least one hearing outside of the Highlands area for people who drink water from the Highlands. And when the regional master plan hearings were held, there was one, maybe even two, held outside of the Highlands regional master plan area. So I think that's something we should seriously consider, and I request that we do that. Also, it would be really great if we know when the upcoming TAC and various stakeholder meetings are going to be, if possibly a month ahead, because I know all of us work, we have very busy schedules, and it would be really helpful to work that into our calendar so as many council members can attend as possible. And finally, if we do have one of these meetings that is a TAC or a stakeholder meeting that has more than has a quorum of members attending, I suggest we simply notice that so nobody is cut out who wants to attend these meetings. We simply notice it as a public meeting. It's a simple matter, and we could very well do that. So I think we should encourage council members to attend and if there's going to be a quorum, just notice the meeting, not tell folks they can't come.
We'll look into it, but the process is one that doesn't really lend itself to a formal meeting. So, and it's diluted, and the council's not actively involved. So we have to protect ourselves legally, but I'll talk to Margaret about it. But I think the vested interest is, and everybody's going to get an opportunity to go to many. I will not try to exclude anybody. Margaret and I have talked about it already. But if we have nine members and Sarah that wants to come to the one in Bergen County because it's next door, you know, it's county, you should go and you need to ask somebody else to maybe attend a different one. So we'll try to get everybody involved as much as they want to. But at this point in time, unless we talk and find out something different, we do want to keep it to under.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, relating to that. I do serve on a municipal board, and what we have done in those circumstances is we don't conduct the meeting as a quorum. We simply have the members present. We're covered legally because it's been noticed. And it doesn't mean that you actually have to conduct the meeting. And I think, at least that's my understanding, and perhaps our attorney can look into this and report back to us on this about what we would actually have to do if we had a quorum there. I don't think we'd have to actually conduct a meeting. I think we're simply noticing it. That there will be a quorum present.
Yes, sir. Two things, Chairman. Number one, I just want to assure you that we have talked in terms of fee and not tax. I think Rob may have interchanged the words, but we have talked in terms of fee and not a tax. Second thing, I've been thinking quite a bit since Carl mentioned the raises. And I just want to ask a couple of questions. Is there, and if there is, who imposed a freeze on the employees' salaries, do you know? Is there a freeze on employee salaries here?
Talking about here or the freeze with all state employees?
No, with regard to this council.
Well, I think it was one that was done across all state employees.
Okay, so there haven't been any state employees that have received a raise?
Non-union, correct. To the best of my knowledge, to the best of my knowledge, is that non-union employees.
Is that something we can check on?
Sure.
If it is not in effect, may I suggest that, we bring that before the personnel committee and have the personnel committee, make recommendations on, the possibility of raises for people. I mean, 7 years without a raise is a long time. I know a number of people that work here at the council have gotten new jobs, and I'm sure that there's been a requisite increase in salary with those jobs, I hope. For the other people, we're probably not talking a great amount of money. So I think it's something we should look at and pass it along to the personnel.
Just to follow up on that, just remember that the Pinelands Commission did put in a 5% raise for their staff, what was it, about a year ago?
Not
6 months, and it didn't go through. I think it was voted on by the Pinelands Commission. They voted yes, the majority, but the governor, I think he denied the vetoed the minutes. But, it sent the statement.
And I agree.
I think we should do the same thing. And while you brought this up, I noticed something on the printout here. Maybe Council Member Holtway can explain this. It says, under salaries, it says, salary expenses include 23 full-time employees and 5 part-time salary expense reserve for merit increase and consideration with council to address staff retention. What does that mean?
I'll turn that back to staff.
Means we have money in the budget for merit raises should we ever be permitted to use.
So you cut the vehicle cost.
You have
the raises.
You have the money in the budget, but it has to be approved.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, just, as I said before, many of you are members of your town councils and freeholder boards, and you know, have your employees not gotten a raise in 7 years? So let's be fair. And if we have to send a statement, we have an increase, we vote on an increase, and it's vetoed, well, we did our part. And then somebody else should be held accountable.
Any other comments? See none, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.